When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Good day to you, and welcome to Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah. I'm Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York.
And I'm Sarah Thompson. Tea Talks is somewhere we chat about our lives, your lives, and inspirational others that surround us.
So get settled and put your feet up, if you can, and we'll get the kettle on. This is episode 12, right?
I know, can you believe it? We've done 11 of these already.
I can't believe it. You see, for me, it kicks off my Monday. Instead of going into Monday morning thinking, oh my goodness, here, the week ahead, it's coming to the end of the month. Oh my goodness, you know, what's going on? It's sort of straight launching into the Tea Talks podcast. It immediately sort of focuses your mind to get on with it. And you've got the world to take over, world domination. What do you think?
I agree. I can't believe how quick Mondays come around now. They never used to come around this fast. But Tea Talks, it was round. But yeah, I agree. It's a really good start to the week, isn't it? So something we have to explain, which we normally would talk about in the news section, but can you believe that coffee has overtaken tea as the Britain's most favourite drink?
Hush your mouth, Sarah. Hush your mouth. We cannot take this. It's like these wonderful lionesses. This is Britain. This is us grouping together. This is unity. This is tea. Tea, Britain is famous for tea. And really, where those reports come from, I don't know. But I think probably we need to then talk more of tea, don't we, Sarah, really?
We need to raise the bar on tea, don't we?
Raise the bar on tea. It was tea that took us through World War One and Two, right?
True.
Although, you know, of course, you can support the indigenous farmers with coffee growing, and you can have both. I mean, personally, I do both, and I like doing both. So, you know, I have coffee and tea. So I think there's a balance of life. It's what you believe in. And this week's Tea Talks is all about belief.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You asked me how I am. I'm doing very well, actually. Derek and Eric are in fine spirits. Well, no, Derek's much more perky than Eric, but we're doing well, and we are on the mend, as they say. And so, I sort of think every minute of the day how lucky we are. And so that I woke up this morning and I said, take the moment. Don't look to the end of the week. That you cannot look to the top of the mountain if you're climbing the valleys. You've got to go round the valleys to get to the top of the mountain. So that's where I am today. And how are you?
I'm good. I've got the entire family here this week, so it's been busy. And my lovely sister-in-law, Karen, listens to our pod every single week, and in actual fact she's been swimming listening to the pod, so she puts her earphones in and then she cackles from the swimming pool. But yeah, she loves it, so I've got my number one fan here this week.
Karen, so you've got the entire family, and but it's, you're still in sunny Spain. Any good restaurants?
Yes, we've done a few more. Oh my god, I should become a restaurant guru. Actually, we did say we might do that together. What a nice job that would be. We'd just pop round like Egon Rone and say, how many stars do we give this one?
You must be loving every moment of it, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely loving it. They all go tomorrow, so it'll be sad. But I've only got a few days left, and then my Elliot who you know well, comes over. So that'd be really lovely. And then we all fly home.
Isn't it extraordinary, the end of summer holidays? I see everywhere, buy your school shoes now. Luckily, for those listeners know that I'm 63, so I'm not planning on going to school in September the 1st or whenever it starts. But it is extraordinary, isn't it? It's soon, any minute now, it's going to say jingle bells, here's Father Christmas coming, or am I going to get into Hallmark Christmas movies? And so I suppose why I said, oh my goodness, no, keep the moment, instead of rushing to the end of the summer holidays. It's really just extraordinary. And then, of course, straight into October, 64 years on this planet. And you think, wow, you know, I'm just beginning my life, Sarah.
Yeah, for sure. And I love what you say, take the moment. I think we might have talked about this before, but you're so right. It's about every day. Don't keep planning and looking for the next. And this is happening on Wednesday, and this is happening on Sunday. It's like, I actually enjoyed today.
Exactly. And I've been having a really good week, sort of focusing on my next book 3, with HarperCollins, Mills and Boone. And I've been really enjoying taking myself on many different journeys, trying to find the absolute nub of my next book 3, which is going to be totally different. And in doing so, I have been really researching female detectives, hint, drum roll, in around about 1870 again. And of course, there's some fantastic stories coming out of India, and amazing female detectives out of India and out of Sri Lanka. And of course, oh yes, I love supporting the indigenous farmer coffee growers, but I'm also supporting Sri Lankan tea growers. And so that's been my week, and it's been a very good week. Yes. And then it's just been very peaceful at the moment.
Are you still on the researching, or have you started writing?
Researching and writing, but we've got to get, this time we have to do quite a few chapters ready for the publisher to really jump in and really see the vision of it. But we also, don't forget, listeners, those of you in America, we have got the wonderful Lady Margaret, Lady Mary coming out on TV soon. So that will be something else. And I don't know, I'm going to go and, I think I've just got to go and try and find Jamie Fraser.
So we need to talk about belief. So this week it's all about belief. And I'm just actually going to start with a quote, because I love this quote. Henry Ford said, "Those who believe they can do something and those that believe they can't do something are both right." And that is at the heart of what I think. It's like, if you believe you can, well, then you very well maybe can. And if you don't believe you can, well, you definitely can't. You're never going to do it. So it's that whole sense of really believing in things. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I was doing a bit of research into it, and we are born with a whole set of core beliefs. So they come from kind of your family, your setup, and that whole sense of whether you think you're lovable or unlovable, or you're fundamentally okay, or no, there's something wrong with me, or my opinions matter, or perhaps my opinions don't really matter. All of these things are kind of like, a lot of them are set in childhood, which, you know, when we've talked before about, you know, if your glass is half full or half empty, isn't it interesting that actually so much of it stems from childhood?
Yes, I do. And also, but I think that, you know, a pessimist is, it's windy all day today. We're going to go out and it's really going to be windy and wet. Yeah. The optimist is, no, don't worry, the wind's going to change. And the believer is, wind or sun or whatever it is, it's belief in the moment of how fantastic today is. So I am a great, you talk about glass half full, I know you do all the time. But if you really think about it, really, really, really think, just this second, just this moment, belief is that turning to joy. And that is what, you know, my daughters say to me all the time, you just make adventure, you just turn to joy, you turn to hope. That's my belief, Sarah. And so what's your belief?
My belief is definitely to I wouldn't use the word joy, but find positivity in things. And like you say, with the wind analogy, is that, yeah, somebody with a positive thing would say, wow, it's windy today. Great, I'm going to get my kite out. And so you make the best of every situation. Yeah, I was thinking about belief and where I've had to believe in myself. I mean, there's definitely business events. I mean, the very first time I ever left a very well-paying job, I have to say, but to start my own business, I was pregnant with Josh, and my then boss said, well, if you can show me another, you know, CEO's working 3 days a week, I think you need to decide where your priorities lay, and kind of tap me on the shoulder, and that's the end of that. And I thought, that's the moment I said, do you know what? I think I can. I'm going to believe in myself, and I'm actually going to start my own business. So I did, and I employed a nanny for 3 days a week. And, you know, we worked very, very hard, but 3 years later floated the business. So I was thinking, gosh, that's probably the most believing in myself I had to do. We had a baby on the way and a big mortgage, but it was like, no, I believe I can work. So that's kind of like a business one, but yeah.
Well, it's a good business nugget for anyone listening. And people say, 11 minutes past 11, the angels are passing by. And who says, can you see an angel passing by? It's a belief that there is an extraordinary circumstance of time. Do you call it sliding doors? Do you call it deja vu? Do you call it a moment of serendipity? A lot of people say, well, you know, if your mother-in-law wants to show that she's around you, or your mother, or anyone who's passed, they'll send a feather. So I found a feather. I found a feather, and it's got a little green tint to it. And I think to myself, I wonder, you know, do I believe that? And, you know, the answer is, I'm happy to believe it today. I'm happy to believe this moment. So that's a kind of a beautiful belief. And I, you know, I lost mum when she was 62, and I must have been 38 or something. And I, or younger actually. And I do believe in the sudden breeze when there's no breeze, or the butterfly which appears when there's no hope of a butterfly on that particular bush, and in comes a butterfly, and all these little signs are my belief, and that's what feeds my soul to get me where I am in a daily way. So that's cool, right? And so isn't that great? But then, of course, I do happen to write children's books, and those of you who know C.S. Lewis and Narnia, of course it's in the wardrobe. Of course it's in the wardrobe.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So, you know, a lot of people ask Sarah and I, and I know that we've had a long discussion about this before our tea talks today, but what is belief? Well, they say belief is defined as an acceptance that something exists or is true, especially one without proof. It is subjective attitude around the world, which can be either true or false. Belief is not knowledge. It is based on evaluation, judgment, not objective fact. Belief can morph into certainty. That mutation can be dangerous, particularly in the political arena. For example, it is how fascism started. Wow. Well, you see, there's loads of different ways that in researching this for this Tea Talks podcast episode 12 on belief, we did a lot of research, and every time I went back to what, you know, the facts, I mean, Carl Jung said, the word belief is a difficult thing for me. I don't believe. I must have a reason for a certain hypothesis. Either I know a thing and then I know it, and I don't need or I don't need to believe it. Carl Jung, 1875, 1961. Well, he's a Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst who founded analytical psychology. Right. There you have it, Sarah Thompson. Give me some of your views on all of that then.
Oh my goodness, where do I start? I think it goes back to what we were saying, is that actually a lot of those things are kind of indoctrinated in you. They are what you fundamentally believe. And I read something about belief coding, which is really interesting. They use NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, to be able to change some of those beliefs, so that if you do believe that actually, you know, you have been brought up, or for some reason you believe that your needs are not important and that they should come last, or you're not intelligent or whatever, you can change these fundamental beliefs. And one of the really interesting things is that actually, people who do have a much more positive outlook on beliefs and life are likely to live much longer. All these studies always tell you that, to be much happier. So actually, there is reason to look at being able to change some of those core beliefs if actually they are more negative. You know, the world is most people in the world are not kind, whereas the rest of us might think, well, most people in the world are kind. So it's those type of like inbuilt beliefs that you can actually change.
Well, yes, that is a different, that's the kindness topic. We know we can teach kindness. So that's great. Absolutely great. I love this idea that, of course, if you think that it's normal to believe, many people don't believe. So don't always try and persuade someone to believe. 50% of people will, 50% of people won't. And as Carl Jung said very clearly, I don't need to. I don't want to believe. So he didn't believe. Isn't that interesting? And what is belief? Yeah, well, okay. On that note, I've always, from a little girl and those listeners, anyone, and especially in America, the Macy's Parade. And it was a long time ago. It was this film, Miracle on 34th Street. And it was when everyone was really cross and said, no, of course Father Christmas doesn't exist. And they took him to court. And no, he doesn't exist, and nobody must believe in Father Christmas, and no, and Miracle, it's a great film. For those of you coming towards the holiday period, go Miracle 34th Street, I just love it. Anyway, so there it happens, and they all get very angry, and they go to court, and they take poor Father Christmas, and he parks his reindeer outside, and off he goes to court. And the lawyer for the other side says, interesting. So you on the American dollar bill have In God We Trust. Well, is God one of the witnesses in today's courtroom? And it's still on the American dollar bill right now. And it's that sort of sense of belief. And, you know, of course, Father Christmas then went on being Father Christmas. And off we go into 2023. However, it is pretty extraordinary when you do look at the dollar bill and you see that. So belief also can come down to your religion and all of that too. So I think it's a very deep subject, Sarah. We've taken a very deep subject because we could go down that rabbit hole out of the wardrobe with our C.S. Lewis and into Carl Jung. Well, what are you all talking about, lions coming out of wardrobes?
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't bring it up, and well done for doing it, because the biggest belief ever is Father Christmas. I love it. And you still believe in Father Christmas, don't you?
Yeah, of course. And I leave a large glass of brandy and definitely two mince pies.
Yeah, listen out for it. Yeah, 100%.
But it, you know, it is interesting because just for the philosopher Robert J. Ackerman, there are four types of belief. And I thought this was quite interesting too. Behavioral beliefs, which are non-conscious beliefs important in human action, where the agent encounters no difficulty so that his beliefs do not require scrutiny at the consciousness level. Unconscious beliefs, long-standing beliefs that can influence behavior over a long period of time but resist recognition by the agent. Conscious beliefs, any beliefs a person has explicitly formulated and is aware of. And rational beliefs, a philosophical idealization of actual belief structures. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I just want to stay with Father Christmas and eating carrots. Otherwise, we'll have to go into deep, deep tea talks.
Too deep over our cup of tea. Let's end with this one then. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever to be able to do it. J.M. Barrie, Peter Pan.
Absolutely. Well done, J.M. Barrie. You see, Peter Pan, he sewed his shadow on so he could never forget that there is a light and a dark side. He showed his shadow onto his foot. I love C.S. Lewis and I love J.M. Barrie and all those ones. And I love Ralph Waldo Emerson. All I have seen teaches me to trust the creator for all I have not seen. We love that. Do you bring your children up with the tooth fairy?
Of course I did. Oh my God, I've got this memory of getting in really late at night from work and then suddenly waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, Josh put his tooth under and the tooth fairy hasn't been. So I grabbed a pound, and then as I was looking at it in the dark, I was thinking, God, no self-respecting fairy would give this dirty old pound under there. So about 3 a.m, there I am shining it up and like slipping it under his pillow.
Oh, sweet. Did he actually notice the pound was shiny?
Well, I think he would have been a bit unimpressed with the way it looked when it came out of my purse. A bit of gum stuck on it and, you know, thoroughly
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nice. You say you've got your entire family in Spain with you, but of course your entire immediate family are all boys. And so were you glued to the lionesses yesterday? And what were they all? What was the news from the boys' camp of Spain, the Sarah Jane Thompson boys' camp? Give me the news.
We were all camped around watching the TV, and there was a lot of shouting at the screen from my boys, I have to say. Very similar to the normal shouting that comes out when they watch a TV match. A lot of frustrations. But it was great. Did you watch it?
I watched it and was screaming at the television too. And I wonder how many more listeners are screaming at the television too. But the real thing I loved and took away from it was the backstories. And that's a movie. I want to make the movie, Sarah Jane. I want to make the movie about belief and never giving up. And we know that. And I wanted all the girls, one worked in a toy shop, you know, one was serving behind the till, one was, you know, all these incredible lionesses that all fought their way when everyone said, don't be ridiculous, you can't possibly do this. So I don't believe it's about the finals and who won. It's about the belief that they did this. Mary Earps, she saved that goal, you know. But then if you have the wonderful Olga Carmona, who, you know, I can't get over it. Her father died. She got the goal and she won, and for Spain. And then her father died. So what is winning? What is, it's the belief that you can. Every single one of those girls, the lionesses, on that pitch, they are the winners, all of them. And that is so exciting. Oh my goodness. I the backstories. And honestly, Coach Wigman, I don't know how she's done that. She believed in the girls. She's brought them there. And I'm really proud for all of the girls.
And they've inspired, you know, they're inspiring so many more girls to get into football, which is fantastic. Have you seen Sienna kick a ball yet?
Oh, they're all kicking balls. They're all kicking balls. And but also there's a little girl and she was very shy. And the family have put out a statement today saying thanks to the lionesses, their little girl is not shy anymore. You know, and that she's got a reason, and she feels really strong. And the lionesses for me, when I was watching them and reading about them and really going into them, is it's that sense of different. There's a uniqueness, there's difference, there's a sense they've I mean, Bobby Moore in 1966, that was when England went back to win the World Cup, and these girls did win the World Cup. They won the World Cup in people's hearts that they can believe. It's like Diana, it's that energy of the magnet to the magic, you know. It's magnet to the magic. So every single person yesterday at 11 was drawn to the magic of hope and belief. So bravo, lionesses, because you did win the gold. You won the gold of people's hearts. And that's going to carry the nation through for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. Salute them all.
I love all those backstories, though, because, I mean, what a sense of achievement. Whoa, it's great news. I wish I could have zipped to gone to Australia. I would have loved to maybe when they come back, I'll go and see them. We'll go and see them, Sarah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm glad about that. And did you hear about the Down syndrome powerlifter who wins double European gold beating non-disabled athletes? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, no, Harvey mentioned it to me and I looked it up, but it was unbelievable. His name was Dan McCauley, who took first place in the European Bench Press Championship, has autism, he's deaf in his left ear, and he underwent two rounds of open surgery when he was a toddler. So talk about, you know, against all odds. I mean, it's incredible.
That's, again, hope and belief, isn't it? That is just, well done, Dan. I took a group of Down syndrome friends of mine from McIntyre, the charity McIntyre, up to Everest Base Camp. And it was incredible to see how they just gave me strength. They gave me courage. And they, you know, it was such an extraordinary journey. And one of my godsons, Sam, he's Down syndrome, and he's just the most extraordinary friend. He works so hard and he works for The Good Life, which is based in Northamptonshire. It's a cafe for Down syndrome people. And it's their cafe they serve. It's not for Down syndrome people, but it's all based around Down syndrome and showing the world they are completely and utterly brilliant people who need that support and understanding. And it's, they believe, and they're just fabulous because, of course, when I'm with them and with him, he just makes me laugh. He sees everything very, very straightforwardly, and I love that.
It's incredible. Wow. And by the way, I should say that he was told that he would never achieve anything. I mean, fancy being told that and you know, how he's answered that.
Yeah, exactly. You see?
So I did mention about glass half full, glass half empty, which I know I talk about quite a bit. But a new study of 2,000 Americans found that people who view a glass as half full not only think more optimistically, but it may line up with personality traits that include things like decisiveness, playfulness, creativity. So there's a lot of reasons to think half glass full. But they did a survey, and actually 58% of Americans felt that the glass was half full, while 16% thought it was half empty. So actually, it does prove that most Americans are pretty optimistic.
And the other one, I like this book. I've always wanted to do a book of these extraordinary sayings. I mentioned it before, but cream rises to the surface.
Yeah.
I mean, the cream rises to the surface means the truth will always come out in the end. Great. Okay, we believe that. Another belief theory. But yes, the glass half full, glass half empty is really, it's interesting. Sarah, how many times in business do you have someone say, well, that's like Dan, poor Dan was told, you're not going to get anywhere, you're never going to do anything. And he's beaten non-disabled athletes. And that's huge. So he didn't stop believing in himself. When is it an idea comes to you and the whole board tells you you can't do it? How many times has that happened to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the biggest things in business. Particularly if you start your own, if you don't believe it, no one else is going to. So you've got to believe it with every pore in your body that it's the right thing to do, and then bring everyone along the journey. And it's not always a straight road, as we all know. But actually, much like this podcast, we believe in this podcast, don't we? So, you know, we'll push forward.
You're absolutely right. It took me 15 years to make The Young Victoria, the movie. It, you know, I wrote the two books, then made the movie. And 15 years, the amount of people that said, no, you can't do it. The amount of people that said, no, give up. And I just never gave up. I just believed in the story. I believed in that I could do this, and sure enough, we did. I think that's very, I suppose that's the best one, a good example like you of glass half full, glass half empty. It's fascinating. I think today will be a better day because we've had this conversation on our Tea Talks podcast.
Yeah, I really agree. And when I was researching it, much like you, it really makes you think about it, doesn't it? In a way that you kind of just get on with life and don't really think about it. But you realize how important it is. And the point you just made there with the Young Victoria is tenacity as well, like sticking with it. You might believe it, but actually, you know, everything worth doing takes its time. So having the tenacity to keep going.
Well, Rudyard Kipling wrote it in the poem, If you can keep your head when all men doubt you and carry on. Well, that's what we need to do. is keep on going, keep on believing.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Leaving.
So I have to ask, as we're doing Believe, that Cher has got a very famous song called Believe, Do You Believe in Life After Love? So I've got to ask you, have you ever met her?
I have met Cher, yes. I've met Cher once, and she's an outstanding vibration of inner light and inner power and strength. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, she's incredible, isn't she? Unbelievable, unbelievable songs that really kind of resonate and make you think. But wow, yeah, I'd love to. I've never even seen her actually in concert, but I'd love to. Oh, where did you meet Hannah? Did you have a drink together?
I think, I said I met her, but I can't remember. I mean, I think it was at a function or at an event. And it was just the sheer strength of her. She's magnetic. She's like J-Lo and like Whitney Houston and Beyonce and all these, it's like Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama, you know, they all have this sense of drive, this sense of something unique about them to drive on and you almost are in awe when you stand with them because you want to ask them so many different questions, but you sort of get tongue-tied. I remember, and with Cher, well, I know it was at an event, but I can't remember which event because it was some time ago. However, it was every time I went to meet Margaret Thatcher, I remember I kept trying to, I don't know what happened. It wasn't yawning, but there was a sense that I wanted to keep making a noise in my throat. And I kept so eventually I had to apologize because it kept rumbling. My throat kept rumbling because I think my voice wanted to say so much, but it couldn't get it out because I was so in awe of her. And I wanted to talk to her all about how she managed to come from Grantham to be to be Prime Minister. So it's the same sort of feeling with all these characters. So with Cher, you look up and see Robbie Williams on stage, or you look up and see someone you really admire, and then you go and talk to them and you go, hello, hi, and just completely forget what you're going to say. I still do it. I still with the wonderful ex-mother-in-law, the mother-in-law, I still used to drive down the drive and get absolutely want the gravel to be quiet and stop making such a noise so I could go in quietly. And I wanted the corgis not to bark at me. I wanted to go in quietly and slip in because I was always so nervous to make sure that I just showed respect in every way. It's just driven in us. I suppose that's what Cher, right? I mean, that's the answer to the Shrek. That's the answer to the Cher question. Who is the person that you'd lose your voice over?
Well, actually, many, many years ago, I was invited by a business colleague to go and meet Bill Clinton. And he said, this is a German business colleague. And he said, oh, my friend Bill's in town. Well, he didn't say it like that because he was German. But he said, he's in town. Do you want to come and meet him? And he was at the Ritz. And I remember trying to get there. And the cabbie said to me, oh, you're never going to get there because the president's in town. He wasn't the president then, by the way. They were still calling the president. And he said, oh, no, the road's completely blocked. And I said, well, I actually am having breakfast with him. And he said, oh, we need to get you there then. And when I went into the Ritz, they were, Chelsea was sitting there and they were all saying, oh, you've come to meet Bill Clinton. Yes, we've got your name down. Da, da, da. And then there's a table for three of us. And I literally couldn't speak. I sat there just looking, I didn't have to what to eat. I didn't want to speak. I was a bit useless, to be honest.
He was very charming to you, though.
Oh, he's very charming, so charming. And just like you say about Cher, he had this incredible aura about him that we then later went in and he did a speech at the Guildhall. And, everybody around him has just got incredible aura.
Yes, it's charisma, isn't it? That's the word, charisma.
Okay, so that was a question from me, but we have got listener questions. So David in Lincoln asks, is there a period of time or an event which you look back on and think belief alone helped you to get through?
Over to you. Was there a moment in your time when you just went, I got this?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think there's quite a few times where I think I've got this. I mean, I can think of like even silly ones where I had a wall for absolutely ages. We redid our house and there was a new, basically it ended up creating this new wall. And I kept thinking, I really need a nice piece of art on this wall. And I've been everywhere looking for this piece of art, the sort of colours I want. And then Steve said to me, well, you did art at A-level. You did it. You can paint it. And I said, oh, I don't see it. I can't paint it. And I thought, yeah, well, I can. So I went and bought this massive, massive canvas. I bought all the colours I wanted. And I thought, right, let's go. And he went off to play golf. So I thought, right, I've literally got 4 hours and I've got to get this thing done because I'm bish, bash, bosh, girl. Anyway, I have painted this tree walk, but in amazing colours, and it's up proudly on this wall. So I must have believed, yeah, I've got this.
Is that the painting behind you?
No, it's definitely not this painting. No. I will send it to you and show you the one I painted.
Yes, we all want to see it now, please. Thank you very much. And we'd like to put it up on the Tea Talks podcast to show everybody. Thank you very much. I kind of liked what you said. I'm a bish bash girl. Bish, bash, bosh girl. Well, that's kind of interesting. So you believe you're a bish, bash, bosh girl. And therefore, what is a bish, bash, bosh girl, please?
A bish, bash, bosh girl is just get on with it and get it done and don't faff around. Bish, bash, bosh.
Bish, bash, bosh. Done and dusted. Yep, like you said. Yes. Okay, so 1986, the nation stopped and took a holiday on July the 23rd. For the farmer's daughter going up the aisle with an extraordinary tiara on, given by Her Majesty, which had gardenias floating all the way through it, so you couldn't see the sparkle. You could see sparkles, but you couldn't see the tiara. And it's an extraordinary story of Cinderella, really, isn't it? I mean, although... you know, I wasn't exactly milking the cows on the farm. You know, it was a very lovely life I've had. But my father still farmed. And so up I went, up Westminster Abbey. And there at the end was the handsome prince with his full naval uniform on. And there was the nation stopped. And Westminster Abbey was just abuzz with belief. And when I came through and signed the registrar, wonderful, who I call Okai, she's a Scottish hairdresser called Denise McAdam, but I called her Okai, of course, was on a big ladder behind when we were signing the registrar. The poor Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen, what they must have thought with me as I was signing with Denise up a ladder, taking the gardenias out of my tiara. And I came down the princess then and there that day. So I believe that's really good example for David from Lincoln, who wants to know, did I believe in myself? I believed in what I was doing that day. It was one of the greatest days of my life. And I believe that it was an extraordinary moment in time. And so my heart is full with belief that anything's possible. You know, from before that, I was working in an art gallery and living in lavender gardens, to be precise, which took me about 45 minutes to get to work. And if the buses were late or the bicycle broke, my boss used to say, I suppose it's the bicycle's fault again. I suppose it's the bus's fault again. And there I was walking up the aisle to Westminster Abbey on July the 23rd, 1986. So I think that's the best example for that, don't you?
Really incredible. I can't trouble that. By the way, you looked so happy in all those videos. How nervous were you? I mean, what an amazing, awe-inspiring thing to do. It's so...
like every bride is always nervous, I think. I don't know why. Maybe it's the energy of everybody around, which is faffing around. They're all doing bish, bash, bosh around you. When I came down the stairs from Clarence House, where I spent the night before, when everyone's going, Fergie, Fergie, on the streets. And when I came down the stairs, there was my father at the bottom of the stairs. And it was one of those moments where literally, honestly, I was watching Cinderella with the girls the other day and Ella Enchanted. That I did that. I had that moment. And Dad was at the bottom. We got in our glass coach. And Dad said to me, Dad said to me, what do we do now? I said, I don't know. I've never done this before. He said, well, nor have I. So we just got on with it. And when we went into the Abbey, we just got on with it. And of course, you know, I absolutely was totally in love with my handsome prince. So there you have it. Right, now, what's the next question?
And Sophie Lester says, how can we make it easier to start believing in ourselves more if we generally lack self-belief?
All the way through this podcast, we've been talking about how do you learn belief? How do you... I'm going to answer that. Then I want to hear your answer, Sarah. But I'm saying, watch the Lionesses again. Watch the Lionesses again. They never gave up on belief. And, you know, and they fought on. And listen to the story of Dan McGawley and listen to our stories. But if you lack belief, then that's okay too, because Carl Jung says it's okay too. But just be aware, I think, that it's not a lack of, it's just the way you are. So it's not a bad thing. It's just an understanding that you don't see things as other people do, which is great. Thank goodness there are people, but I don't want you to see it as a lack of, because if it's a lack of, then you're immediately putting yourself in a lesser than situation. And I don't agree with that. And I think from this podcast, you can see that many times we've talked about, I mean, Carl Jung, you know, don't forget, he was a Swiss psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, and founded the analytical psychology. So people don't say he was wrong not to believe.
I also think the reason you lack self-belief, like everyone has amazing good in them, and you will have so many attributes that are really great. And don't focus on the ones that you don't think of as a real attribute. Think about, you know, what you are good at. And what you love and what you put back into life and everything. Because I think self-belief is like a bit of a spiral, and we all end up judging ourselves by other people. But don't do that. Look in the mirror and tell yourself. We started off with this. I remember telling you to look in the mirror on pod one, and tell yourself, you know, I'm great. I'm going to start the day and believe that, you know, anything's possible. Because if you believe anything's possible, well, then you've got a better chance of making it happen than the person who doesn't.
I do worry, though, slightly that the question actually said lack of self-belief. That's the only thing, is that I want to say to Sophie and Lester, you don't lack anything. You don't. You're a really great person. I don't know you, but you are here, and I know you can believe in whatever you want to believe, and you can also believe in the fact you don't believe. So all is well. I really think that. So please don't think, lack of, that's lesser than a lack of is not possible. But then, of course, I believe that. And also, I believe this morning you put your sunglasses on your head and I put a blue dazzling little headband on. Well, I felt like it. I believed it was time for on a Monday morning to put a dazzling blue headband on, and you put your sunglasses on.
So you do one more. Mark in Exeter wants to know, is there such a thing sometimes as having too much belief? It's an interesting one.
Well, what I like about it is we've gone from Sophie, who's lacking self-belief, to Mark, who's saying, is there such thing as too much belief? I think let's agree that tea and coffee need to balance. Let's agree that a good Libran person like me believes it, the mentality of a warrior, but the heart of a poet. I do believe that we can have balance. And I think that Mark in Exeter... Well, maybe you, Mark, should talk to Sophie, because Sophie believes she's got a lack of and you think you've got a lot of. So maybe you can make a happy balance. Maybe that's a match made in heaven. Maybe we're playing Tinder.
There we have it. Another episode of Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah in the can.
I suppose I spilled a bit of tea today, didn't I?
Did. You did. Thanks for that.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to those who've got in touch. If you would like to contact us, you can send me a message on Instagram at SarahFerguson15.
Or DM me at SarahJaneThompson_.
What's DM mean?
Direct direct mail me. This has been a Viral Tribe production. You can directly email at ttalks@viral-tribe.com if you have any thoughts or feedback.
Please subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. And if you can, leave a review and a rating. Right, that'll do. See you soon.